Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the different platforms. Like if you were to start all over from complete scratch, what would you be on? Would you be on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, blogging?
Oh, you're asking me. I thought that was like a rhetorical.
Well, actually, I was trying to think of a different platform, but I think I ran out. I thought there was one more in my head. LinkedIn. Oh, LinkedIn. Yes, you're right. Yeah. LinkedIn. And Twitter. That was what I was thinking of.
Or X. I know, right? What a pain in the butt. Yeah, you know, it's funny because we're in the middle of a webinar right now. We get this question all the time. We get it, you know, people email us this question. There's so many platforms. Like when we got started, it was pretty easy. You could just be a blogger. You didn't really have any other options.
Yep.
Was podcasting out?
No.
I can't remember.
It wasn't until 2012, 2011. Yeah.
The only thing you could really be on outside of blogging when we got started was be like the forum guy. You know, people that like they rocked the forums and they were like the one that had all the answers and stuff like that. But I don't even know if that was something you could monetize back then. Probably not, but that was not my jam. So I don't really know much about it.
Can I just rant real quick? I mean, it's kind of our job to be on all these platforms just so we know what they're all about. And so if you look at my correspondence today, I have people emailing me, DMing me on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and then Twitter. And then I recently added Threads, and the Threads activity isn't high, but I'm getting messages thrown at me from all these platforms, including YouTube, and just keeping track of, and text, SMS, and email, right? Keeping track of all that stuff is impossible.
I don't keep track of it. Like I tell people, and we have to do this for Seller Summit, and this Seller Summit's where the biggest offenders are for me, is that we tell people, if you have a question about your ticket, if you have a question about registration, if you have a question about anything about the event, email me. Like we put my email everywhere, right? And people will message me on Facebook. They'll DM me on Instagram. And I don't mind if people message me. I don't mind if people like, it's not offensive to me or upsetting, but what it is I'll look at it like because I'm in line at the grocery store or I'll see it, but I will never respond, right? Like I'll just kind of like see the notification and then I'll completely forget about it and I'll never get back to them. And so it's not that we're not responsive to people, but I think we're very responsive for people, especially like that are in our courses and coming to the events. Like we want to give them as much information as possible. But like if you're not in my inbox, if you're not using like the preferred method, like I'm just not going to get back to you in a reasonable time because I'm going to forget. Like I can go days without checking Facebook because I have someone who does my Facebook posting. So I can go days without even looking at Facebook and it doesn't even occur to me to go look at my messages for something. So that's one of the problems I think with all these different forms of like communication is that it's hard to get to everybody.
I think texts are the worst. Like I'll see it right away usually. Mm-hmm. But then if I don't have an answer right away, there's no real good organization system for text, as far as I can tell. And if you miss it, it's basically done.
Yeah.
Like if I don't respond right away, you're probably not going to get a response.
Well, I just had this conversation this morning. So yesterday I had a ton to do. We're doing this webinar. We're reworking our PDF and that's actually taking, you know, a decent amount of time. I had other deadlines for things. We redid the slides for these webinars. So I was still working on the slide. Like there was all this stuff. And I literally just turned my phone to silent, flipped it over, did not look at anything for like 6 hours. Right. When we got done with our webinar, I had like 37 text messages from just like, and some of it was important. Some of it was like my kids, like, hey, can we do X, Y, Z? Like it was a variety of information. But like when I have that many, like I know people like Paul Ivanovsky, he's the worst. With Emmaloo's, like, I'll look at his phone. He has like 872 unread text messages. I'm like, how can you live? But for me, it's like when I have that many unread text messages, like 30, I literally look for my kids and like people that I'm close to. And if you're not on that list, I'm not getting back to you. Like, it's just like, whatever. To me, it's like that.
Why do those people have your number?
Well, because like some of it, like, for example, a couple of my clients will text me. And to me, it's like, if we're in a conversation back and forth, that's fine. But if you like want something done, that needs to be in an email or on a project plan or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that. Yep.
The texting, like if it's a quick question, like, am I allowed to do this or will this break something, you know, and I don't have to check anything to get back to you? Sure. But like, if it's something where I have to go research and I'm in the middle of like a yesterday, I'm just not going to be able to get back to you. And then I'll forget by the end of the day. I got to watch my The Bear. I got my new show. So
so I didn't mean for this rant to go on for so long. Yes. It was just saying that being on all these platforms is kind of a pain in the butt. So if you were starting over from the beginning today, like right this second, what would you start with? Just curious.
How old am I?
What's that?
How old are you? Am I my age or am I the age I was when I actually got started?
Well, why does that matter?
Oh, it matters a lot.
Well, why?
Because?
I'm curious. I didn't think age had anything to do with this. So let's say you were young.
If I'm 35, yeah. I was probably 34 or 35 when I got started. I would probably start, if everything was the same like it is right now, I probably would have started on TikTok.
Huh.
Because I think TikTok is the what are those things where they shock you when you have a heart attack? I can't think of what they're called.
Oh, defibrillator?
Defibrillator. It's like the defibrillator of audience growing, right? Like, I think it's probably the absolute fastest way to grow an audience. Like, I've seen it with my kids. Like, my kids have grown to like 30, 40,000 followers very quickly. My nephew has over 300,000 followers on TikTok. We have lots of friends who have grown to TikTok without using other channels to like boost it very quickly. So if I was like young and, cause the difference in the age part is like now I'm like, no. Like, I just don't, like, I don't want to work at that pace right now at 50, but at 34, like, I would have done TikTok. I would have just been like, let me shove out a video a day. And my life was far more like, my life right now is not like super interesting for TikTok, right? It might be interesting if you like a lot of drama, but it's not like TikTok. Like, I'm not going a lot of places.
Did you go to bingo night just the other night?
Yeah, that's right. I had the bingo. I was at the early bird happy hour, 4:30 with my coupon. Like, when my kids were younger, when I had a lot more going on, I had a lot of material, right, to talk about, to write about, to like build content around. Now it's like, I mean, the only thing I could really do that's super interesting on TikTok is like watch me work. Right. Like, here's how I build out a flow. Here's how I set up I just launched that course. Right. So here's how I set up the course. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I would be producing, which I don't think is as great for TikTok. But when, you know, 15 years ago, when I had 7 kids that were all little, like, that's super, like, that would have just driven tons of traffic. Right. And tons of followers and views. And then I would have leveraged that into like something else. But like, nowadays, my life, like, in general, is kind of boring.
Let me tell you why TikTok isn't my first choice. Okay. And you know, I grew my TikTok to about 115K subs. Yeah. And I was doing that. And then I had to stop because when I was working on my book, I had to make a choice. Like, I need to drop something in order to get that thing out the door. And I decided to drop TikTok. And the problem with TikTok is I stopped it and the traffic kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Right? And then when I resumed a little, I resumed just to kind of promote my book, which in retrospect was probably the wrong thing to do because you need to keep it going in order to be able to promote something. But, you know, the engagement has dropped because I basically dropped off the face of the earth on TikTok for about 6 months. So it's like a hamster wheel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get on it, you pretty much have to post regularly.
Which is why the caveat of I wouldn't do it today, but I would have done it when I was 30, in my 30s.
And let me just contrast that to my blog. I literally dropped my blog on the floor too for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Wasn't posting anything. The traffic did not move.
Yeah.
On the blog. Like, it did not go down. And in fact, certain things went up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the type of property that I want to invest my time in.
Yeah.
YouTube was pretty much the only thing I think I kept up during that period. But I'm pretty sure that if I stopped YouTube for four to six months, mm-hmm. I think it'd be okay, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's why for me, when I say TikTok, that's like my launching strategy. That would not be my, like, I don't, you know, it's not my lifetime strategy of like, I'm going to do TikTok and that's it. Like, I would do TikTok to grow my audience quickly, because I think one of the things where people get down on blogging or content creation is, you know, I've been doing this for 5 years. I've been doing this there. And a lot of it is they don't quite have the strategies that they need to be successful. They're like missing that one small thing, right? But I think for most people, like if you're just slogging through something and you're not getting any like wins, you want to give up, right? And so like our goal is always to keep people from giving up, to keep like, because most people that we talk to are creating really great content. They're doing really amazing things. They're really smart people that have something that we think should be shared. But when you feel like I've been writing blog posts for 3 years, I have 500 visitors a month, like that is discouraging, you know? And if you don't know certain things, you're probably going to sit there for a long time.
I mean, I agree with you 100%. It's just if you're doing something for, let's say you do something for 2 years and you're stuck. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to change things up before two years elapses, right?
I agree.
But what I've found is like people will just do the same thing and expect something different to happen.
Right.
Right. I think TikTok and, you know, we have Charles, like he was like, oh my God, I just put out a YouTube short. And it got like 1,000 views or something like that. And he was like, oh mm-hmm. my God, this is crazy. So yeah. You're right. I think getting that engagement right away feels good, but I feel like money feels better.
Well, friends are awesome, but cash really is king.
Well, I'm just saying like TikTok, I was never sure. Cause I know I got a lot of DMs from TikTok. Yeah. Yeah. It was actually overwhelming.
Please delete those women, Steve. They're just after your money.
It was like 14-year-old kids or people like in high school who wanted to know how to get started so they wouldn't have to go to college. And basically, I had this one kid send me like, he can't stand being at home anymore. He just wants to move out.
I'm like, Don't live on your own.
Yeah, I know. Living on your own sucks.
Yeah.
Stay at home.
I saw a TikTok today and it was like this, like he's clearly like probably just graduated from college or like, you know, out on his own. He's like, you don't understand how bad it is when you move out. Like things that just appear don't appear anymore. Like you have to buy your own vacuum cleaner. He's like, you have to buy trash bags. You have to actually buy a garbage can. Like, I'm like, yeah, don't leave. Don't leave. Stay. It's much better.
Gas doesn't just magically appear in my car.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But here's why, like, this is my thoughts on the TikTok strategy, is I wouldn't build TikTok for the sake of building TikTok. I would build TikTok for the sake of just like the caffeine injection, the launch, right? We know, like, I know people who are like small boutique sellers that are doing $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a day in sales directly on TikTok, right? Now, there's a lot of controversy around it. And there's a lot of talk about like, what's TikTok's real goal? And what are they trying to do? And, but right now, it's a cash cow, right? And what I think is interesting, and it's kind of like selling on Amazon. Like, I'm not a big fan of like selling on Amazon is your only business. I think selling on Amazon is your cash infusion to build the brand, to do what you really want to do, to create something better. But it gives you that money that allows you to maybe quit your job so that you can full time focus on something else. And I feel like TikTok sort of falls into that as well, where it like gives you that infusion of whether like look at these people that have built up, you know, big audiences on TikTok. They're getting brand deals. They're earning money.
It's true.
There. Yep. And so that's giving them the opportunity to maybe like leave their job. And like, this is where I think the mistake is made. They have the ability to leave their job, but then they don't invest in something long-term, right? They don't like, okay, let me create that course. Let me start selling a physical product. Let me create the website. Let me move this over to YouTube, start some training materials. Let me get a subscription service, right? There's all these things you can leverage once you have that little bit of freedom from, you know, either having an audience, having cash, whatever. And so that's to me like why I would start there, because it still feels like the place where you can grow quickly and there's a lot of competition, but you can still like kind of rise above if you have a unique angle on something.
I guess the other advantage is you can just take that same content and post it on Reels and YouTube Shorts.
Yeah. Right. Just like, the Amazon stuff that I've been working on, it's crazy to me that like you can get accepted into the Amazon Pro Influencer Program with like 2000 TikTok followers, which is not a lot. You don't have to work hard to get 2000 TikTok followers. You really only need to make one viral video or even semi-viral video, right? And so you get into that program. Well, once you're in the Amazon Influencer program, you don't need an audience at all to make money, right? You can rely completely on the Amazon ecosystem to generate revenue. And there are people that are doing this to the tune of, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. So I think that's where I feel like there's leverage in TikTok, because you can still grow really quick. And it's a lot harder to go quick on any, like, you can't grow quick writing a blog. You've got to go slow.
Can we just dissect the age question again? So why do you feel like you need to be doing something really cool and interesting in order to post TikToks? You've seen my TikToks, right?
They're boring.
Yes, they are boring. But I do have a couple that reached over a million.
I mean, but my child also has some that have reached over a million, and she's in the car mouthing the words to a song.
That's like, true.
I mean, yeah. No, I feel like today in my life, I don't want to document everything that I do anymore. Like, I just don't care. Like, I don't have the, like, if I was a lot younger, I feel like I do a lot. I have a lot of energy, but it's like, I don't have the energy for that. It's not to say that, like, if I was a rock climber, right? If that was my job, I taught people how to, like, scale rocks, you know, I'd probably do TikTok, right? Because that's super interesting. It's like, is he going to fall today? Is he going to fall to his death? Like, are we free climbing the side of the mountain? Like, I was just talking to my friend last night who fixes, like, dents and scratches in cars. I'm like, it's actually really interesting because a lot of people can fix small dents and scratches in their cars with the right equipment and tools, right? You buy the right products. I'm like, I told him, I was like, I would put this stuff on TikTok. I put this stuff on YouTube, right? Like, because there's a lot of people who go into a grocery store that someone rams a cart into their car. They don't want to take it to the body shop and pay $1,000, right? They're not going to file an insurance claim, but they want their car to look nice. So, like, there's people out there watching those types of videos. Like, I just don't have a lot right now in my life where it's super interesting unless you want to watch how to set up email flows, you know?
All right. So given your advanced age.
Yes. Given my elderly status.
Well, I'm just curious, what would your platform be now?
I definitely go to YouTube now because I would just make long form videos about either, you know, cooking. Actually, I mean, right now I'd probably make long form videos on how to make money on email, right? Because that's what I do all. That's what I do all day. So I would just start creating, because I think I do some stuff that's pretty cool and not everybody's doing, or not everybody knows about, or not everybody knows how easy it is to do. I'd probably just start making, like, training videos about, you know, here's how you do this. Here's how you set up this. Here's a hack to work around for this. Because I still watch those videos, right? I still Google and go on YouTube and search for how to do specific things for the tasks I want to complete. So that's if I was starting today, that's probably what I would do, because the pace isn't the same, right? Like, I could put out 2 videos a week and not 7. They're going to be more complex, but it's just, you know, and it's also like, I don't have to get ready to make these videos. I can just shoot a screenshot and voiceover. Like, it's just a different thing. But yeah, you know, plus I don't want people to see me in my wheelchair, you know, come on.
So for me, actually, TikTok would probably be third or fourth.
Yeah.
And so YouTube would be my number one. I still think long form is the way to go, just in terms of just money and engagement.
Yeah.
Podcasting would probably be last on my list. But I'm slowly jumping on, and this, did we talk about this already? I think we talked about this last week's episode or 2 weeks.
ManyChat.
Jumping on the Instagram.
Yes.
/ Facebook bandwagon, only because of their new Messenger list feature.
Yeah.
Where you can get them on a list, which will allow you to send a message to them. That can take them off the website, do whatever you want once per day.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like building an email list, whereas TikTok doesn't have anything like that. Although TikTok does have its merits, which some of the features I haven't tried yet, right? Like TikTok Shop. Mm-hmm. You said you had a friend. Yeah.
Oh, well, we know these people too. Like, I mean, one of them texted me a couple weeks ago and screenshot their dashboard, and they were making $35,000 to $45,000 a day on their TikTok shop. And she was like, literally get on TikTok and sell something, sell anything. And I said, I'm driving. And she said, sell the child in the back seat. She was,
well, she so was walk like, me through that. So I assume we're talking about the same person, because I only know a few people who have the capability of doing that.
Yeah.
So does she, is this making more money than her regular Facebook gig then?
You know, I'm not sure because I don't know exactly how much money they're making right now. But what I know is that it is like people, you can shop directly on TikTok, right? You create the videos, they're shoppable videos basically on TikTok. And TikTok is currently, and of course, this is the problem with social media, right? Because this could change any minute. Currently, TikTok is favoring this content, right? It's pushing it to the top. It's pushing it in the For You feed for everybody. I'm seeing these videos now in my feed. Probably every third video is a shoppable TikTok video.
That's not
video.
Like my, what my feed looks like. But I don't have scantily clad men in my feed either. So
neither do I. I'm on the wrong algorithm right now. So, you know, a lot of these shop owners, those boutique owners, people that we've seen on TikTok that, like, you know, they get famous and they start selling sweatshirts or mugs or, you know, whatever it is. The ability to sell directly on TikTok now is, and you can advertise with these shoppable videos. So not only can you just organically sell, you can advertise your video, right? So then you can appear in more feeds. And they're making thousands and thousands of dollars a day. I mean, the biggest issue for them is inventory, right? Because you can't put something on a shoppable TikTok video if you don't have 1,000 units, because you'll sell them.
So to be clear, this is a video and not a live.
This is a video.
Live selling.
You can also live sell on TikTok as well now, but this is just shoppable videos.
Interesting. So
I was going to tell you to try it with the hankies.
Yeah. I would have to do that though, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you probably, yeah.
I'd have to be in the video.
Yeah, I don't, and meaning, I also don't know with the personalization side, like how that would work. Like if you would just have to sell the things that aren't personalized in your store.
I think the way it would work, which would be really messy, is you make the sale first, which includes the personalization.
Yeah.
And then you get it after the fact, which isn't ideal. But maybe they'll add some extra fields or something in there.
Yeah. I will say the big downfall to the shoppable TikTok stuff, and this is not something that I'm like super familiar with. I know as much as I'm being told by other boutique owners, is that when someone buys from you directly on TikTok, so they're not going to your shop, they're not going to your store, you actually don't get their information. You don't get their email. You only get their address and their name.
You can grab their email from that though, right?
Yes, you can. But like, it's very similar to Amazon in that you're basically, the TikTok owns that customer. You don't.
You know, I don't do a lot of selling on Instagram either, because Instagram has that same feature. I wonder if you get all the information actually.
I'm not sure with Instagram.
I have to check.
The only experience I have with that is like clicking on the link to then go to the store to buy, which then you do get the information.
I think the problem with our business is that Jen doesn't want to do any of those things, obviously.
Yeah.
So it would be me. Do you think I could pull off Hawk and Hankies?
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
And the types of, like, would I have to act differently or dress
not
differently?
Not in your
or
typical attire. I mean, you right definitely have to step up the dress game.
So but I have to step it up. Would I have to act differently, you think, in order to pull it off on camera?
Like, we'd start calling you Stefan.
Like, welcome everybody. Today I'm going to show you how to set a formal table.
I actually think people might like it. Like, cause it's so, like the juxtaposition of it is pretty, like, here's you, the engineer, folding handkerchiefs, teaching people how to make a baby bonnet. you might get some traction on that.
I mean, I guess it's worth a try. I should probably have some lessons in the class on this at some point. So maybe I'll try it, but I don't want to make it a regular thing.
It's Fridays with Steve on TikTok.
I think the best way to do it probably would be to eventually hire someone in house to do this.
For sure.
I think if we wanted to be serious about it.
I think in kind of to like in general, what we're talking about is, I think what's cool about what's going on today is that, like, you and I both say, if we were starting all over, we would go to YouTube, we would start creating video content, long form video. I think I can really back that up, right? Like with facts and data, and it's pretty proven. But what's cool about how the platforms work today is you can really start on any platform. You could really, I mean, this is a terrible example, but like Joe Rogan has built an entire business on a podcast, right? Like, I mean, obviously he was famous before the podcast, but like the dude's got, it's like crazy how successful he's become and the people he gets on that podcast. Like podcasting, even though it's probably not you or I's first choice, it's not dead. It's still a way to, if you have something,
it's
like
definitely not dead.
Our friend Lisa, who has a crazy popular podcast, right, about organizing. Like I have another friend, Dana, who has a crazy popular podcast about cleaning, right? Like there's no, that's not something that you couldn't do. So if you're like, I'm never putting my face on video, fine, do a podcast. If you are like, I can't write, I'm terrible, fine, make YouTube videos. You're like, hey, I'm really funny and interesting. Like then get on Instagram, do stories. If your life is super complicated, like if your life is crazy, right? Like I follow this lady on TikTok. It's like how much we spent in New York, living in New York every day. She has like 4 kids. They moved to New York from Utah. And every day she details how much it costs for their family of 6 to live in New York City. She's got like 500,000 followers. She's got like all these, like, it's just like her life is fascinating, right? Because it's like, oh, well, we got coffee today. We took a cab instead of the subway. Like it's just, and all it literally is a documentation of her day because it's interesting. So I just think that there's so many opportunities for people. There's no reason why you can't start somewhere and start creating that content.
No, I completely agree. Maybe I'm just old and crotchety like you are,
yes.
Where the short form just sounds like this hamster wheel or treadmill, I should say,
yeah.
Where you hop on it and you pretty much have to be on it. It works really well,
yeah.
No matter what you choose. You just have to be consistent and post once a day at least.
And some people don't mind doing that. And that's the thing. Like, that's not, and I think that is a component of us being older. I really do. Like, I think we're just like, no.
Yeah.
You know, but like, if I was 30, I probably would be like, yeah, I'll totally. Like, my days, like, when I was 30, my day was really interesting. Like, I would love to post this because if nothing else, I just want some validation for like how crazy my life is with 5 kids or whatever I had back then. So yeah, I think, but that's what I think is cool. Like even LinkedIn, which you or I don't really utilize, like we know people who are like crushing it on LinkedIn.
I mean, Chase just came on and he grew and he, I think, got 80,000 email subs from LinkedIn.
Yeah. So if you're like, I don't want to say if you're like boring and informational, but if you're boring and informational, get on LinkedIn. Like you can,
yeah,
you
actually can just, yeah, because the stuff that Chase posts is just about email, right? Email, yeah. And just general marketing tips.
Marketing, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not flashy. Like, I mean, Chase is a great guy, but he's not flashy. He's not like, you know, some of our like more bro-y friends who are like, you know, do this, do that, get this. You know, I came across this video yesterday and it was like, I'm gonna teach you. I was like, I feel like I'm buying a used car. But like that's not Chase at all. He's just real, like mild mannered. He just writes these posts and pieces of content about like, hey, think about this when you're marketing. Blah 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 blah. And
yeah,
you know, it's effective because he's got really good information. So he's not flashy in any way. He's really pretty simple.
I think the more I realize, I think in order to do social well, I think you need assistance, right? Unless
yeah,
you spend all of your time doing it.
Yeah. But here's the other thing that I think, this is another, like, I hate to like keep harping on how old we are, but like, like I watch my kids edit stuff on their phone and it's like 15 seconds they've edited a video, right?
Wow.
It's just like, and they've got like a minute video edited with cuts and everything else. And I'm just like, click, click, drag, save, click. It's not matched up, redo, resave, delete. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think a lot of it is just, like, you, like, we grew up, I grew up without a computer. Like, you probably had a computer before I did because you're.
We did. I had a computer, like, since birth. Well, no, because my dad built, like, that's what he used to do for a living for
yeah.
the most part.
Yeah, yeah, I had a neighbor whose dad had, like, a computer in the garage. Like, it was, like, a wall of stuff that he had built. But like, I didn't get a computer till I was in college. Like we had a word processor, like that typewriter that like you could delete stuff on without it coming out on the paper. It was really cool. But so I just think like we just grew up differently. So it's like not intuitive to me to edit things on my phone. Like it's not some of those things.
I mean, that could be learned, I guess. I mean, I was editing for a while I was editing everything on my phone because I had read somewhere that if you edit on your phone within the app, it does better. So I was editing on the phone. I got all right at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a pain in the butt. Like I need a big screen.
Yeah. Like I don't want to edit. Like I'm sure I could learn how to edit on my phone. I don't want to. Like I'm old. I'm old and crotchety. I'm not learning on my phone.
And part of it is, you know, the world's going to short form video and the attention spans are getting lower. I just wonder where that's going to lead to society. I mean, maybe we are just old and crotchety, but you know, if I just want to be entertained on a cursory level, then I'll go on TikTok. But if I actually want to learn something or get something out of something, I'll go on YouTube or I'll listen to a podcast, right? So I guess if you want to be popular in the short form, I guess you could become well known, like your face, and people will follow you. But I feel like you need a combination of both, right? It's great to get the lead from short form and then build the in-depth relationship either on a podcast or a YouTube channel. Yeah. So you would start with TikTok specifically?
I mean, if I was in my younger days, yes. Today, if I was starting like right now, I would totally start long form video. And the thing that I think people need to know is you don't have to put your face on the videos. You really don't. Like, I obviously think that's preferable a lot of times, but we know people who create videos that they don't like, it's just tutorials. They're not showing. It's not personality driven. It's information driven. And so I think for people who are hesitant about, we have some people in the course, like, I don't want to show my face, which I get, like not everybody wants to be on camera. It doesn't ruin your opportunity there.
But if you want to get any business from that outside of views, I think it's important to just kind of maybe flash your face every now and then.
Yeah.
Right. Because otherwise, you're just a tutorial, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be you with the camera and nothing else. Like, you can give a little personality and then have it be primarily tutorial. I think sometimes people think, like, oh, I don't want to be an influencer because it's just me talking about my day or doing dances. And that's not, I mean, there are people that do that, but that's not what we're talking about.
I mean, there's this guy I follow for some reason on TikTok. It's the lockpicking lawyer. Have you ever seen him?
No, I follow.
All he does is pick. His face is never on there. He just picks every single lock possible. So if I had a lock problem, I would definitely go to that guy. So it does work for sure.
But I think people, if that's something holding them back, that shouldn't hold you back. You should, you know, just get your information out there and show your face a little bit. It's not the end of the world.
A question we got yesterday when we did our live webinar was, blogging, like, would you start a blog today?
I would always have a website. Always.
You would always have a website, yes. Mm-hmm. But would you still put out blog posts?
So I would, but I like to write. So I'm probably different than a lot of people that we talk to who really don't like to write. For me, writing has never been intimidating. It's never been something that's like held me back. If anything, I need to pare down stuff, right? I think having the website is critical. I think if you're doing anything, you have to have the landing point, which is a blog website. Now, whether it's one page or 200, that's where the debate happens.
So I often wonder if this is a function of age also, because if I want to learn something, I prefer to read, not watch a video. Because like the video, there's always fluff. Like, you know, when you search for how to do something on YouTube, you got to search through that thing just for the little nugget you want. Whereas on a post, I can just quickly scan it and see if it even answers my question.
Yes. Like I don't want to when I watch a cooking video, it's for pure entertainment. It's not because I'm ever going to make the recipe. If I want to make a recipe, I read it on a blog every single time. But I'm never going to watch a video. Like, now what I will do is like, I'll see a recipe on TikTok and then I'll just Google whatever they called it and find something that's on a blog that's as similar as what I can remember the video being. But I'm never going to watch a video and make something. My kids do this all the time. It drives me bananas. They see a video on TikTok. They try to make the recipe. And because it's on TikTok and it's short, they always miss something. And then I have like 72 ingredients in my garbage can and my kitchen's destroyed. Because I don't think that's a great way to consume instructional content for most things.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Michael Stelzner. I don't know if you follow him on Facebook.
I think I do.
But we were just, he's been talking a lot about AI recently, mm-hmm. and the written content and how search might get disrupted and all that stuff. So what he started doing recently was just putting out opinion pieces.
Mm.
So it's not like the traditional content that you would put out just for search. It's really just pure opinion, what you think things are going.
Right.
And he's been posting these videos on Facebook, I think all of his platforms, LinkedIn and whatnot. And all these videos have gotten great engagement. So I wonder if that's where the world is going. He's a great writer too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been putting these posts down on paper also.
Well, like so, Charles in our course is basically doing opinion content on YouTube. Right? Like,
yeah,
very opinion based. I think there's something to that, because as you and I both know, when AI generates something, it's basically just the facts, right? You can add nuances into it and a little bit of personality, but it's not an opinion. So he might be onto something.
Might be onto something. I mean, maybe that's where the world's going in terms of AI.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm sure it's going to get better, but right now, so here's what's funny. So we run two scholarships,
okay.
One for Bumblebee Linens and one for My Wife Quit. And part of that mm-hmm. is I make everyone write a 1,000 word essay.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to spot the people who use AI.
Interesting.
In those essays. Like, it's just something off about it, right? Or yeah. it's just too, yeah. a little too dry.
Yeah.
I'm curious, this guy called the Bumblebee Linens line because you're supposed to email to scholarships, but the dude didn't know how to spell scholarships. So he called
Should
Bumblebee
you
Linens.
Get a scholarship if you can't spell
That's
the
word what I was thinking, but I'm curious. I'm going to go read his essay now. And what if it's like this beautifully written or well-written thing? You know it's BS, right? Because the dude can't even spell scholarships.
Can't you? Like, how do you not spell? I don't know. How do you not know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's like scholarships is a word. So there are words that I spell so horribly that even spell check is like, we have no idea what word you're trying to say. Right. Cause it's like, there was actually a word the other day where I was like, I don't even know how to get to this, to the spell check level. And it was a word I didn't use a lot, but like scholarships to me is like a word that should be, you can sound it out for the most part. Right.
I 100% agree. I mean, this guy's obviously not going to win the scholarship, but I'm just curious to see what the guy's
essay is. He probably needs
the
scholarship more than anybody. Send him back to school.
I guess so. But I've been thinking a lot about this lately because I've been reading my daughter's papers and, mm-hmm. you know, I'll glance at her homework and whatnot. And my first instinct, like when she's just staring at a blank page, is, hey, go ahead, use ChatGPT just to get something up. You don't like use it verbatim, but you know, it's better than looking at a blank screen. I haven't said that yet, but I'm always tempted to say, what's your view on that? Just curious.
I would not ever.
You would not do that?
But your kids are different than mine. My kids would take that as a, but you said I could use ChatGPT to write my papers. Like,
I mean, not to write the paper, but if you're staring at a blank screen.
My kids would take it to that level, though.
I see. Because I think it's fair to get just some facts out. I mean, what's the difference between looking it up in a book and putting it down on paper? Just getting the facts out. And then injecting your own opinions in there to make it your own. I mean, that's where the world's going, right?
Yeah.
I mean, are the schools behind or not anticipating the future and in structuring their lessons this way or the
Probably
assignments?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So one thing you haven't mentioned in all these different, we've talked about a lot of them. You haven't talked about Twitter at all.
You know why? It's because it's been like, I came back from vacation and it was X. Right. And then I was looking and it's been buggy. It's been buggy ever since. Like, yeah. I just looked on my mentions tab the other day. Mm-hmm. And I always have a bunch of mentions in there. It was blank. So I don't know when we did that Twitter episode.
It's
been a while ago. Twitter has been stagnant pretty much for me for the last month, mm-hmm. I would say, to the point now where I'm questioning whether to invest more into it because I don't know where it's going. Like, Elon is random.
Yeah. Yes, you know, he is.
And I'm not really an early adopter type. Yeah. I generally hop on something once I know something's stable. Mm-hmm. And right now I just feel like it's in a state of flux. So do I want to be investing my time into something that's kind of random, that's constantly changing right now? So that's why I haven't mentioned it. That's why you haven't heard me talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So what's interesting is that we did that podcast. It was probably 6 months to a year ago that we did the Twitter podcast. I mean, it was a while back. And, you know, I used to be like I was on Twitter all the time. I had a lot of followers. I made a lot of money from Twitter with Twitter parties and brand promotions and things like that. Like, it was definitely a core component of my revenue back probably like 2011, 2012, 2013. And then it felt very hamster wheely to me. It got like, I don't know. I was just like, I got to get off this platform. It's not a positive for me. So I basically just stopped doing it. Still have my account and everything like that. But then after we did that podcast episode, I was like, huh, I mean, I still have a lot of followers. And the people that I follow, like, I have good connections on there. Like, and I go on Twitter once a year for the Super Bowl and I just tweet out crap about the ads. Like, that's my one time a year on Twitter. So we have that conversation and I'm like, you know, maybe I'm going to give Twitter a second chance. And then it was like right about that time that everything like shifted, right? Where Elon kind of came into power and stuff was happening and everyone was like kind of flipping out about it. And I was like, nope, I am not going to, like, I'm like you. I'm like, I am not jumping back in this until it feels like the boat is steady, because I don't have a lot of extra time to like throw into something new. So I'm not going to go jump on the boat that's like in the middle of the ocean in a storm right now. Like, that's not a good idea for me.
I mean, I literally got back from my vacation and I thought someone had hacked into my phone. Because in place of the Twitter app was this big X. And not only that, the X kind of looks like a hacker X.
Yes, it does. It has a sinister look to it.
So I literally thought my phone got hacked. And then I opened it up. I dumb, right? If your phone gets hacked, you don't open the app that you think hacked your
phone. You're like, let's see what's happening.
And I was like, whoa, did someone hack Twitter? And then I had to Google to find out what the hell happened. But
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how we're going to wrap this up, Tony. All I can say is, if you're old and crotchety like us, I guess long form, if you're young, hip, and you're willing to post all the time, then one of the short form content platforms like TikTok or Reels or Shorts. Is that accurate? Always have a blog as your home base.
Always have a blog. No, I think that the biggest takeaway is there's no reason why you can't be doing this. There is a platform out there that fits you, your personality, and there's no reason why you can't jump in and just try something, because there's literally a platform for every personality and every business type.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.